The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
For those of you who go way back, do you remember Ralph Carmichael? And he was a composer of Christian music. He is said in some ways to be the father of contemporary Christian music. And he had a group of singers. For 10 extra quality bonus points, can you remember the name of the group? No, it was Ralph Carmichael and the Young People. Isn't that fabulous? I mean, what a product of its time. Ralph Carmichael wrote a song. I'm going to read you the lyrics, and then I want you to hear it. My favorite rendition of this song is by the a cappella group Take Six. You may have heard of them before. They're wonderful. Still doing a lot of work these days. Here are the words, and then we'll listen to it. There is a quiet place far from the rapid pace where God can soothe my troubled mind. Sheltered by tree and flower, there in my quiet hour with Him, my cares are left behind. Whether a garden small or on a mountain tall, new strength and courage there I find. Then from this quiet place, I go prepared to face a new day with love for all mankind. Do you have 2 minutes and 40 seconds? Let's listen to it. So that's Take Six, and I think it comes from their first album, self-titled first album. Tomorrow night I begin a series on end times and Israel, and one of the things I'm going to say is that I love Israel, and one of the reasons I love Israel is because it's the land of the Bible, notwithstanding the fact that God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ from the Jewish people. But I love the land of the Bible. You've heard me say before that it has been called the fifth gospel the land, because it kind of preaches as well. And it turns out that Jesus also had a quiet place that I'd like to show you. The first picture is of the little town by the Sea of Galilee, and it's called Capernaum. And Jesus set up his ministry home base there in Capernaum. Remember that Capernaum is on the very north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And I talked a little bit about it last week because we talked about an adventure, a very interesting scene that happened in the synagogue. If you look to the right and lower right-hand corner, that is the remains of the synagogue. And that particular one came after the time of Jesus by a few hundred years, but the remains of the synagogue that Jesus actually taught in is on the foundation, or in the foundation of that edifice right there. You may also notice what else? It's a little bitty place, right? The ruins that you see there are walls of homes and so on, and it isn't all that large of a place. Do you see the spaceship there as well? You see the big round disc? It is not the Millennium Falcon. It is not. But it's actually a very beautiful chapel that is suspended over the spot that Bible archaeologists, at least for the most part, agree is the home of Simon Peter. And it is a chapel dedicated to his memory. And in the middle of the floor of that chapel is a huge, what's called an oculus of glass that you can look right down into where Peter's home was. The second picture is of a little place I want to talk about a little bit. It's called a prayer grotto. It's gotten the name over the years of Eremos, E-R-E-M-O-S, which is a word for lonely or deserted place. This little cave is on a hillside just outside Capernaum. And in fact, it's pretty hard to get to. Not many people go to it. We had to do some climbing to get up there. But it was a very frequently visited place, even from the very early church, because there was a tradition that sprung up that this was the secluded place that Jesus would pray. Do we know absolutely that's the spot? No. But from the very early days, even Egeria, whom I've talked with you about before, who went on a trip to the Holy Land and kind of kept a travel log there at the end of the 4th century, visited this very spot, the Eremos, the quiet place where Jesus is said to have gone to pray. The third and final picture, and we'll just leave that up, is from inside the prayer grotto, looking down and at the Sea of... Isn't that gorgeous? A little tiny cave revered from early times as that deserted place where Jesus would go. Our reading today from Mark's Gospel may be referring to this very spot. Before we read it, though, a little context. Remember that the disciples have come to Capernaum. That's where they've set up home base, mission home base. And in last week's reading, we were looking at how Jesus went to the synagogue, the spot where I showed you a moment ago, and he began to teach. And there were at least two important things that happened when he was teaching there. One is that the people were amazed, and they said, this person speaks with what? Authority. There's something about this voice. There's something about this man. He speaks with authority. And then the other unforgettable thing, if you were at synagogue that day, was what? Do you remember? There was a demon-possessed man. And Jesus said to him sternly, get out of him, depart. And it says the demon left the man with a shriek. But you may also remember that we pointed out that the demon, before he was kicked out of the man's body, said to Jesus, I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? So the demon recognizes who Jesus is in some ways that the people there did not that day. All right, so here's what happens next. We're in Mark 1, verses 29 and following. Are you there? Mark 1, 29 through 39. I'll read the whole pericope, and then I want you to notice some things. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Pause there a moment. First of all, remember the size of the town. Capernaum isn't that large, and you can imagine that word hey, did you hear what happened at synagogue today? So a bunch of other demon-possessed people, as well as those who need healing, show up there on the doorstep of the house of Simon. And so Jesus is immediately faced with lots to do, right? Look what happens next. Verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, Eremos, where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. All right, something to point out about the text. We've already mentioned some of them. Capernaum is their home base. Everybody's heard about what's happening. There's a pressing need right there in their own company, so to speak. Somebody's ill. They're in the company of disciples and the followers of Jesus, and he heals. And then the whole town comes to the door. Did you notice that he didn't allow the demons to speak? What's up with that, do you think? Why did he not allow them to speak? Wouldn't that be a good thing? It's not time yet, right? Jesus is on a mission. Jesus has some stuff to do. So you can imagine, after all the people come to the front door wanting something, that Jesus needs to pull away, and he goes to maybe even this little cave. Traditionally, that's the cave we're looking at. Do you think Jesus did this a lot? I do. I can see him needing to get away, which really knocks me out. Because here Jesus is, co-eternal, co-equal, a member of the ultimate holy family, who's pulling away and taking intentional time to be with his Father. He's setting aside time to be with his Father, even though John 14 says, Jesus says, that I am in the Father as he is also in me. And yet, he's still pulling aside and having time with the Father. And I'm certain that the apostles and the disciples and all those around him saw that. They had to have seen Jesus. They went looking for him, though. Do you think that got on Jesus' nerves a little bit? I can imagine. I've climbed halfway up this mountain, secreted myself inside this cave to pray, and here you show up. Remember that, and I think that disciples did watch him very closely. Luke 11 tells us that they asked him one day, "Would you teach us to pray? Show us how to do this." Now, just above the Eremos on the hillsides that overlook Capernaum is the spot where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, he does some instruction about prayer. Matthew 6, 5 through 6 records it. Let me read it. "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Verse 6 of Matthew 6. "But when you pray, go into your room." You might want to circle that. "Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I asked you to circle the word closet or room, depends on how it's translated. The Greek word is tameon, and it's translated room or closet. And it's often used to describe a little room that you would hold valuable things or treasures. Think about that just a second. Jesus says, when you pray, go to a place that, well, safeguards treasures and precious things. Is he talking about actual gold chandeliers and baubles? And no, I don't think so. Because here's the thing, that word is also used, I love this, for the little closets where the Torah is stored in synagogues. And they found one of those little things in a little town just around the corner from Capernaum called Magdala. It's a tameon. It's a place where you store the Torah and biblical scrolls. And they thought of them, and this gives me goosebumps, they thought of those little closets as a little kind of holy of holies far away from the temple. So here's this spot that holds treasures and precious things. It's a little room, a little closet, a little compartment. And it was thought of even by them as a kind of holy of holies. I love that. Modern synagogues have those even now, today. And in some ways, the Roman Catholic tradition is similar. They have something called a tabernacle. A tabernacle in a Roman Catholic church is a little room or a cabinet door where the communion items are stored, particularly the host. That's a stunning example to me, Jesus pulling away for prayer. I have to confess to you that when I stand up in front of you and I talk about things like being a good husband, I do so with confidence because I'm crushing it. Actually, I'm really good husband. I don't mind telling you. It's not me doing it. It's Christ through me, but I'm good at it. Just ask the Shielster. You remember what I told you to say? You should take my advice whenever I offer it because I'm mostly doing a really good job. But when it comes to prayer, I'm less confident to stand in front of you because sometimes my prayer life is pretty thin. What about yours? Do you pull away intentionally, purposefully? Are you carving out time? I wish I prayed more. I'm pushing 60. I don't want to have any spiritual regrets as I get older. I wished I prayed more. I wished I set aside time and space to do that more. What about you? I'm going to bet you that you could improve your own prayer life as well, many of us anyway. That Eremos grotto and Christ's instructions on the Sermon on the Mount just above it invite us to set aside a special place and a time where we can pour out our hearts to God. You might want to set aside a certain place. I know some of you have. You have a room or a designated spot where you pray and you meditate, you think about God. It's a prayer closet, and it's full of precious things, maybe some devotional books or a cross or icon or something like that. That's perfectly wonderful. I love that idea. But here's the best news, at least to me. You can carry your Eremos grotto with you wherever you go. Now, sometimes it's more difficult to blank out all of the distractions of the world. Sometimes it's hard for you to slow down your mind. It is me. I called Robert Brown the other day, and I said, Bobby, I have an idea. And he said, oh, really? Just one? You have just one idea? Your mind is like squirrels running around or something like that. But he's right. My mind is always on the go. It's hard to slow down and stop. But we can carry our little Eremos grotto with us wherever we go, reserved in the inner parts of our spirit and our hearts, where the Lord is welcome to come and commune. You can be in your car, you can be standing in line at the grocery store, sitting in a special place set aside for that purpose. Or it might be outdoors. The song a minute ago, whether a garden small or on a mountain tall. But there's one other thing I think is really interesting, at least to me, about that Bible passage for today in Mark's Gospel. Look again, please, and this time focus on verse 36. Did you notice this bit? Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And look what Jesus says. He doesn't say, super, let's get back to that. Or, hey, that could be handy, have some supporters. after he's had his time with the Father in his own Eremos, deserted place, solitary place, Jesus replied, verse 38, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. That knocks me out. What do you suppose I'm driving at? What do you see there? You got some ideas? That prayer time had to be strengthening. It had to be encouraging. But what else? What do you see? Tony says marching orders. It's also a reorientation. Maybe it's reorienting to be in your Eremos, in your prayer closet. Because they said, "We've got a great idea. Let's go back down the hill to Capernaum because everybody's waiting on you." And Jesus, he sets his face. That's not exactly the place in Scripture where we read him setting his face. Remember, after the Mount of Transfiguration, he set his face toward Jerusalem. But in this particular case, he also sets his face toward something else. He said, "Let's go somewhere else. I've just heard from the Father. I've been talking to my Father. And my Father and I agree that this is what I need to go do." The disciples know, "Come on back to town. You're popular there. There's lots to be done." But instead, with renewed strength and renewed purpose, Jesus refocuses on mission one. And in my spiritual imagination, he's almost propelled out of that little grotto, that little cave. So once again, Jesus shows us something really important. We can't speak truth. We cannot transform lives. We cannot bring healing or find victory over sin in our own lives if we don't build a rich, strong foundation of communal prayer with the Father. Actually, it might be even worse than that. It might be that you can kind of do some of those things without having the rich, foundational, communal life with the Father in prayer. You might be able to do some of those things, but at the end of the day, it's just going to kind of be about you. So here's what I'm doing today. I'm calling me, and you too if you want to a renewed and intentional prayer time. Let's do that together. Lent is coming. What a perfect time to take on that discipline or to renew it in your life. Maybe, unlike me, when it comes to prayer, you're crushing it. But you could probably still fortify it some. What a perfect time Lent is to focus on that. In the long ago, Elijah spent some time in a cave, an Eremos. He had just had a big victory against the prophets and priests of Baal, must have been feeling pretty good, and then word comes Jezebel is going to find you and kill you. He retreats to another mountain far away and is in a cave, and he listens for a still small voice. That's what came, at least in the end, for him, a still small voice. So let's do the same. Let's agree to do that together during Lent. Let's carve out a cave of prayer in our homes and our hearts where we can be with the Lord, where we can pour out our hearts to God, and we with the Father can agree what it is that we need to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you astound me. Once again, you astound me. It boggles my mind that as you are in the Father and he is in you, you still pull aside and have times to go to a solitary place and commune with the Father. Well, I want that for me too. And I confess to you and before my brothers and sisters that sometimes my prayer life is thinner than I want it to be. And I get so busy, or thoughts like squirrels are running through my head. I have a hard time slowing down. Oh, Lord, I also get so busy doing ostensibly holy things or churchly things that I miss the chance and don't take the chance to pull aside and commune with you. I want to change that in my life and fortify my prayer life. Lord, many of us here want to do that too. So especially as Lent approaches, I pray that you would show us a prayer grotto that we can go to and spend more time there with you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who is our exemplar in all things. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.